thank everybody for coming out tonight for the John Byrne Band. They're on a tour right now, I think, in the Midwest, so they've come a long way to play for you guys tonight, so we're really excited to have them here. John, I've been a big fan of his since he started playing on Casey Cafe Radio. Oh, about a year ago, I guess, is when we started playing John's music on the station. So you come here via Ireland. How did you get here from America, other than taking a plane or a boat? What brought you to the United States?
Well, I mean, Ireland has always been a country of immigrants. I moved here. I mean, I didn't. Kind of just to play music. I mean, when I was a kid in Ireland, I actually loved American folk music. I was sort of a weird kid, like listening to Ramblin' Jack Elliott and people like that, and just had this very romantic image of America, and wanted to come here. I never intended staying this long, I guess. I kind of just wanted to investigate it, and I came over and worked at some like shore towns, some seasonal places, and traveled around for a bit, and then settled in Philadelphia. You know, I grew up in Dublin, so I grew up in a city, and I wanted to find a city to live in again, and I'd been to Philly, and liked it a lot, and sort of settled in and started a band.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
so it wasn't the Philly soul music that drove you to Philly?
No, it was more just the sort of neighborhood feel of the city. I liked it. As soon as I moved there, we found a little area that we lived in, and I moved over with another friend of mine who's also a songwriter. So really, it was the two of us who started playing music. And then we sort of had different ideas on what, you know, what kind of music we wanted to play, and we kind of went our separate ways. We're still, you know, best friends, but it's I put a band together in Patrick's Head and started playing. And once we did, I mean, the Patrick's Head sort of ran its course, and then I had all this material, so it just sort of kept going, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I really don't know how to stop. So so we're still doing it.
So was Patrick's Head, was it like this style, or was it something completely different?
It started off as something completely different. I really didn't, when I first came to America, I really didn't want to play Irish music. It's strange, I know. I became more Irish the longer I was here, I think. But when I first came over, because I'd be playing in bars, and people would be asking me for songs that I didn't necessarily want to sing, you know, Irish songs. So it's sort of, rather than have the issue crop up, you know, people would want rebel songs. I really didn't want to be part of that scene. They would want some other weird, like the unicorn song. I don't know how or why that all got wrapped up in Irish music, but but people couldn't believe that I didn't know that song. So I was, you know, I was a writer, and I just sort of at some point said, all right, I'm not doing Irish songs anymore. I'm only playing my own songs. And that was kind of where Patrick's Head came about, because I recorded an album, and I was putting a band together to play that album, and I met up with a guy, and he was a songwriter too, and we kind of combined our songs, and we were doing original stuff. We would do the odd sort of rock, but it was more like a rock and roll-y kind of thing, and then we started sort of doing Irish music when we would do like acoustic shows, like bar shows. We would just do these acoustic things, and it just started to creep in, and I fought it for a minute, and then realized that there's a lot of the Irish songs that I love singing and that I missed. So we started very carefully handpicking the Irish songs we would do and putting them in with our originals, and that's mm-hmm. kind of what's happened with this lineup.
Mm-hmm.
It's a much different sound, but it's kind of what we do is we sort of, you know, with the Celtic folk album, we really sat down and carefully picked songs that we felt, you know, we could speak through, and but it's kind of, you know, a long winding road, and tonight it's got us in Belton, Missouri.
Yay. John has two CDs available. His first CD, which is called After the Wake, which is a wonderful CD, but mostly original material, I think.
It's all original
material. Yeah, all original. And then the other one is Celtic Folk Tonight, is that what it's called?
It's, well, yeah, the picture, actually, we were on our way to a gig in Lincoln, Nebraska last year, and we happened to be driving down this, I guess, highway or, you know, state road, and we just saw the sign that's on the cover of the album, we just sort of flew by it and was like, did you see that? And so we reversed up and we took a bunch of photographs of it. Some of us, you know, some of them were like goofy, like me standing beside the sign going. But then there was some other ones where it was just the sign. And we, the Irish album, you know, came about. We did a tour of Ireland last year, and but we'd be playing our original stuff with a couple of Irish tunes in it, and then we'd go to the merch table afterwards, and people would be asking if we had any of the Irish songs, and we didn't. So we sort of decided around the beginning of this year, you know, that it was silly for us not to have an album of these tunes, seeing as we were performing them and we loved them, and we'd come to think of especially of these. The versions we were doing, we'd come to think of as our own. So we put them down. But yeah, the cover, we just sort of left it at that and didn't really title it. So I guess it's called Celtic Folk, but that was the actual sign that was by the side of the road. And
that's very good. Well, it describes to people what the music is. So that's,
it does.
That's a good
thing. I kind of thought it was very Googleable. I was
right,
going like, that's...
Right, right.
Like, oh, that's
true.
You know, so.
So are any of these songs that's on this CD, are these songs you used to play with your family? Because I know you mentioned on your website, I think, that your family used to sit around and play music together.
Yeah,
Do any of these kind of songs?
Some of them, yes. I mean, a lot of them are songs I'd known for forever, you know. Some of them are, you know, others are songs I was aware of but hadn't learned. With Patrick's Head, we actually did end up recording a couple of Irish albums. So a lot of the ones that I grew up singing were also on those, and I didn't want to repeat. I didn't want to do the same ones again.
Mm-hmm.
I'm delighted with the selection that we chose.
Oh, yeah,
there's a couple
great.
Of instrumentals in there, and
that's wonderful, yeah.
You know, that's yeah. Our house was sort of a ballad house, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, all the ballads on there are ones that I've either known or been aware of for most of my life. So.
And all these band members are on the CD.
The Celtic Folk album was absolutely a band effort. Yeah, the four of us kind of holed up in a studio for a couple of weeks or month, I don't know.
Five weeks.
Between the first note being played and the final master going, all right, I think we're done, you know.
So you must like each other because everybody's still alive, so.
Yeah. Well, we
I don't
do.
See any
we,
visible scars anyway.
Yeah, we travel around. We pack into a little van that basically holds us, our instruments, a small PA, and you know, our spare pairs of underpants.
Mm-hmm.
And and we haven't had an issue yet, so that's...
Well, good.
Yeah.
I'm happy about that.
No,
so how did you meet?
No,
how did everybody meet? I know everybody's Philadelphia people.
Yeah. Everyone is... We all live, you know, right in the heart of Philly. I met Andy, actually played in Patrick's Head towards the end. We at that point, we were sort of running on fumes and our one guitar player had left, and a mutual friend introduced me to Andy, and so we met. And Andy was like, when I demoed after the wake, Andy was sort of the first person who I handed these demos to, and I said, mm-hmm. you know, what do you think of these? I don't know if they're any good or not. And then Andy produced the album, so he's a really talented guy. I met Maura. I guess I started doing a session at this bar in Philadelphia, and I always had this idea of cello being in Irish music, and Maura's mm-hmm. A cello, wonderful cellist, and
that's not a cello though.
That's not well. Yeah, we bring the cello on. We generally brought it on tours, but we kind of the gigs we were doing on this one were mostly sort of Irishy kind of gigs, so we weren't using the cello. So we had to make a choice, thinking like, all right, on this entire tour, we're going to use the cello for about 8 songs total, you know. So
uh-huh.
So we saved a little space and. But yeah, so Maura joined me in this session, and it was great. I loved right away, you know, just how she just sort of let the cello slide in. And then I think at one point I had a couple of guys playing fiddle, and then Maura mentioned that she played fiddle too. And so it was just the best of both worlds.
Great.
You know?
Well, we're really looking forward to hearing everything tonight. But right now we get to hear some great music. So please welcome the John Byrne Band.
You were the one, and every Wednesday night, come up with a new excuse to slip away. things I think and say. Don't mean nothing to you. Stories you believe. Who'd have believed you'd believe? And the reason to stay.
Thanks for coming out, Kathy and KC Cafe Radio. KC Cafe Radio, that's a good name too. Thanks for having us. We're gonna play a mix of songs from After the Wake and Celtic Folk for free today. This song was one that we played. This is a song that's really an American folk song, but I feel got hijacked by the Irish a little bit, which is nice. We reckon it's about a soldier in the Civil War who's caught from the South. Who's caught down south and meets a beautiful lady and falls in love down by New Orleans. And the song is called "The Lakes of Pontchartrain."
I stepped on board. dark-haired girl towards me came, and I fell in love with a Creole girl from the lakes of Pontchartrain. I said, me pretty Creole girl, my money here is no good. And if it weren't for the alligators, I'd sleep out in the woods. Are you welcome here, kind stranger? Though our house is very plain, but we never turn a stranger out by the lakes of lakes of Pontchartrain.
much. Take out the barrel on and bang it for a bit. I'm going to do a reel for you. Usually I encourage people to get up and show off the skills they learned watching the Riverdance DVD the night before. But that would be a really bad idea in here. Like in the old days when you're first like a kid in the band and you're getting paid like $40 to play a show. And then they give you your bar bill and it's $240. It's the same kind of thing, you know. So this is a reel called Catharsis.
If a gentleman came passing by, would you fill him a drink if he was dry at the well below the valley, oh? Green grow the lily, oh, right among the bushes, oh. Me cup is full up to the brim, and if I were to stoop, I might fall in at the well below the valley, oh. Green grow the lily, oh, right among the bushes, oh. If your true love was passing by, would you fill him a drink if he was dry at the well below the valley, oh? Green grow the lily, oh, right among the bushes, oh. She's whole big grass, she's whole big corn, her true love had never been born at the well below the valley, oh. Green grow the lily, oh, right among the bushes, oh. Said, young maid, you sweared and wrong. Six fine children you have born at the well below the valley, oh. Green grow the lily, oh, right among the bushes, oh. ocean floor of the well below the body. There's two of them buried beneath the well of the well below the valley. Oh, green roll the lily, oh, right among the bushes.
Album. This song is appeared in a British TV show, one of those wonderful reality TV shows. They don't get any better when the Brits make them either. we were driving across Iowa June last year, and I got a phone call from an English TV producer, and he says, "Johnny says we'd like to use your song because you know how funny the English talk." He said. So the premise of the show is that these two chefs are battling for a job at a Michelin star restaurant, and he's describing the scene, and he says, "Yeah, it's like this sauteing thing that's hot and it's flames and sweaty and they're angry and they're chopping things and it's just getting hot and they just want to kill each other. They just want to kill each other. And then your song comes on, mate." So you need a visual to go along with this one. You can picture a couple of very angry English chefs. The song is called "It's a Gas That Makes You Laugh Before It Kills You."
Then you know that we ain't evil. It's a gas that makes you laugh before it kills you. between. It's the gas that makes you laugh before it kills you. Pour another water and pour over 20 pages. Throw out your clocks and calendars, think I'll laugh at stages. The star outside, but this hurricane still rages. It's the gas that makes you laugh before it kills you. It's the gas that makes you laugh before it kills you. Said I'm leaving up this town when it gets cold. Getting old, and I never felt so far away from home. Here we go. Sun was barely breathing. Kissed his wife goodbye. She hardly knew that he was leaving. Carried no expression. No one knew what he was feeling. It's a gas that makes you laugh before it kills you. It's a gas that makes you laugh before it kills you. It's a gas that makes you laugh before it kills you. It's a gas that makes you laugh.
Song for you. This song, I wrote this song about that moment in your life when you realize you've turned into your father or your mother, your mad auntie, whoever it is you have become. I see you there. It's happening already, isn't it? my dad is my dad is still knocking around. He's at home in Dublin. He's doing great. At 70, he decided he wanted to learn how to play the banjo. And at 72, he got addicted to YouTube. he brought me into the room one day. I came home and had my bags, just getting off the plane, smelling awful. And he brought me into the back room. He goes, "John, I want to show you something. Have you heard of this thing be the name of YouTube?" I says, "Yeah, Dad, I have. Yeah." He says, "It's brilliant." He says, "I went on the YouTube and I was looking for Joan Baez videos, and there's about 30,000 Joan Baez videos. It's brilliant. And then I was looking for Bob Dylan videos, and there's about 10 million Bob Dylan videos. YouTube, it's going to be huge. You should write it down. It's brilliant." So I says, "Dad," I says, "you know," I says, "I'm on YouTube." And he says, "You are not." "Why would the YouTube fellas come out and video you anyway?" "You're brutal." So we checked out, saw a bunch of videos, and he was the lightest. And he's the first one to tell me whenever anybody videotapes anything and puts it up on YouTube, he's the first one to let me know. He gets on Skype and he goes, "John, you're on the YouTube again. Brand new song. Brutal as ever." So if anyone does feel like taping anything tonight and putting it up on YouTube, rest assured my father will see it. Anyway, I always dedicate this song to him. Love him, my old man. And this song is called "Old Man's Disguise."
I remember you walking me home. I remember you closing my door. I remember the way that the wind blew your hair, and the way it would stand upon end. I remember the sound of your car, unmistakable as it was. I remember the race to the front door on Fridays to see what it was that you bought. Ooh, I feel like I'm wearing an old man's disguise. Flashing in front of my eyes, way before my eyes.
Introduce this song as a very unusual song in Irish music because it's about a battle that we won. I'll let that one sink in there for a minute. we didn't win too many, and when we did win, we didn't really know what to write about. The general rule of thumb in Irish music is the worse the defeat, or the bigger the massacre, the better the songs. Like, always looking the bright side of life, you know. So this one goes back all the way to the 1500s and about a battle where the Irish were led by a man named Fiach McHugh O'Byrne, who I like to think is a distant relative. And the tune of this song is actually the tune that they marched into battle to. And the words were written sometime later in the 1700s. And it's one of my favorites. One of my favorite Irish tunes, and it's called Follow Me Up to Carlow.
Thank you.
to Sagar to Clonmore. There flows a stream of Saxon gore. How great is Rory O'Gomore? Send the loons to Hades. Why the sick Geraint has fled. And now for Black Fitzwilliam's head. We'll send it over.
Thank you all for coming out, and Sally for hosting us, and KC Cafe Radio for getting behind us. Thank you so much. We play house concerts a fair bit when we're on tour, often like little stop gaps, and it brings us into smaller towns, and it's brilliant. So thank you all for supporting it, and you guys for hosting it in the first place. I always say that house concerts would never work back home, because most Irish people would consider themselves far better than whoever is playing up on stage. So the player would get to play one song, and then some bugger from over here would stand up and start singing. He's like,
"Lolly the Beals."
He's like, "Because that's what we do. We gather in rooms, in people's houses. Our house was a hang house, you know. People would come hanging out like after the bars closed, or just randomly anytime, school night, didn't matter. And bottles and cans would be taken out, and next thing, somebody would start singing. And it would be on, you know, it would start to go around the room. So if you sang the first song, then you would know you were next, and you better have your song ready. And everybody does. I mean, I don't know, I think it's just a cultural thing. Everybody has something. It's a joke or a poem or a song or a dance or a piece of music that they play. And this was a great thing. I loved it growing up. It was just fantastic, because anytime anyone asks me who my influences are as a singer, it's those people. Because I was a little kid when I was just observing this going on and loving it and just wanting to be as cool as the people in that room who were singing the songs. And it wasn't just Irish songs. Like my grandfather would recite The Cremation of Sam McGee, you know, the poem, which I loved. I still love to this day. And my grandmother would sing Crazy by Patsy Cline in a key that she invented herself. And even when you were a little kid, you didn't get away with it. When I was a little kid, for some reason, when I was about 6 years old, I learned all the words to Rhinestone Cowboy, and that was my song. So I'd belt out, and apparently I would belt it out anywhere, at school, didn't matter. My mom told me, I don't remember this, my mom went to a parent-teacher meeting when I was in first grade, and the teacher said, "Oh, he's a grand little lad, no bother at all, you know, hi, how are you, sorry, I'm ignoring you over here." He's a grand little lad, he says, but every now and again, he just gets up and walks to the front of the class, and belts out that Glen Campbell song, Rhinestone Cowboy. I can just picture the logic behind, you know, six-year-old me, you know, bored out of his mind, sitting at his table going, "Oh, it's 11 o'clock. It's time for a little Rhinestone Cowboy, methinks." Anyway, to cut a long story longer, I wrote this song really as a tribute to all the people who hung at our house, because they're the people, they would take these songs and just make their own versions of it and add a verse and take away a verse or add their own little bits and pieces. And I really make the song their own, and these are the people who I loved hearing sing and still do. So this song is called Various Verses. Other songs have come and gone, but you shine through with more poetry verse and soul than anyone I knew. Gianna Dreams holds a special place for me to be. We'd meet up in back rooms and beg each other to breathe.
rare old times rode on too long. I need someone to love me, tell me I'm playing it wrong. Festival ending was rough, and the first drink is tough, and 100 is never enough. We'd add various verses, make them our own, make them our own. End up in different time. Walking around this town, up to no good, sleep rough with a rough sort of crowd. Times in my dreams I find myself covered and spoiled by this soil. The locals are shattered and restless, the singer is royal.
Song, then take a quick break. Again, we have CDs and shirts, as Kathy said, and we have our mailing list. So if you like what you hear, you can sign the mailing list and know when we're back. Or if you don't like us, you can sign the mailing list and avoid us with startling accuracy in the future. I wrote this song about the town that I worked in when I first came to America, which is a town called Wildwood, New Jersey. It was a shore town, like a very bustling shore town in the summer. And I traveled around America after I did that a bit and then moved to Philly and went and visited Wildwood in the middle of winter, and just the difference, it was just so stark, and they turn all the traffic lights off, and it was just such a different town. And I went to the little room that I was staying in with my dog, and I wrote this song. So we'll finish up with this one. Thanks again, and we'll see you in a couple of minutes.
This seaside town is trying not to freeze, but its electricity's gone. This seaside clown and his snow-washed queen run a tap to Memorial Day. I used to wallow here with the men I followed here. Wish I could talk to my best friend, but she's in love. What's one more drink when you're already gone? Your logic escapes me.
The answers are
just the